I want to begin this kind of where Ed left off. And, you know, after Moses is born and so forth, and then, of course, he has this conflict, and then he leaves Egypt. And when he leaves Egypt, he leaves the Pharaoh's court. He goes into a place called Midian, which is like in the Sinai, which is where he gets married to a shepherd girl, basically. He ends up caring for his father-in-law's flock of sheep and so forth. And the scripture says in Exodus that he takes the flock to a place called Achar Hadmibar, which is the far side of the desert, the far side of the wilderness. And I want you to picture this, because Moses has gone from the Pharaoh's court away into Midian, now into the desert, the wilderness, and now to the far edge of the wilderness. In other words, he's getting as far removed from humanity as is possible. And then he comes, in Exodus chapter 3, he comes to a place called Horeb, which means, it's the Mount Horeb, but it means desolation. So in other words, he's come as far removed from the power of the Pharaoh's court, from abundance and prosperity, to the depths of the world, literally. And there, interestingly, on Horeb, he sees a fire. Now, in some respects, this is a picture of Sheol, of hell, because desolation, nothingness, fire, that's what it's like. And yet, guess who he meets in desolation and in fire? It's the Lord. The Lord meets him at that point. And it reminds me of Psalm 139, which is a psalm about a person who basically is running from God. And then this is what the psalmist says in the psalm. He says, "If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, in hell, you are there." In other words, no matter how far away we get, feel like we have gotten from God, no matter how desolate our situation may appear to be, the Lord is still there. He's still revealing himself, and he wants us to meet him. And it's interesting that Moses meets him in that most desolate of places. You know, it would be really great if somebody could get me a cup of water. I would love that. Thanks, because I'm kind of drying out quick here. Now, Moses sees the Lord and he hears from the Lord on this mountain, later called Mount Sinai, and the Lord calls Moses by name. Now, when the Lord speaks to someone, it's not a chit-chat. It's not like, "Hey, how you doing?" Right? Like we would do. "Hey, Moses, how you doing?" You know, that's not, in other words, if the Lord's going to call you, if he's going to speak to you, that's going to be something fairly major. And of course, we know the story is God gives Moses a mission, which is to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. And so Moses wants to know, what should he tell the Israelites? Who should he tell them who sent them? You know, he's just some guy. And then he says this in Hebrew. He says, "Mashmo." In other words, what is his name? What is the name of the one who is being sent or sending him to go deliver the Israelites? And this is what the Lord says. And what the Lord says has been debated for centuries, almost millennia, as to what this means, as to what the Lord meant. But he says this in Hebrew. He says, "Eyeh asher eyeh." So let's say that with me. "Eyeh asher eyeh." And then he says, "Tell them that Eyeh sends you." Now look with me in Exodus 3, verse 15. Exodus 3, verse 15, which is the end of this whole thing. And then it says, "God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord," which is God's name. When you see Lord capitalized in the scriptures, that's the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord is actually in your bulletin there, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. That's the Hebrew name for the Lord. And he says this, "The Lord," in other words, God's name, "the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation." This is the name of the Lord, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And the question is, what does it mean? What's this name supposed to mean? And like I said, there's been a lot of debate about it. Now, it's likely that this name of the Lord comes from the Hebrew verb known as hava, which means to become, or it's also haya, you'll see it in places. It means to become. In Aramaic, it means to fall or to fall out or to come to pass. And this is what I believe Eyeh Asher Eyeh means, because Eyeh is just a derivative of the Lord's name. I believe what he means when he says this is he says, I will bring to pass, or I will bring into being that which I will bring into being. In other words, my name is, if you want to know who sent me, it's my name is I will bring into being that which I will bring into being. And then the Lord says, he states his name, which is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, and it would be translated like this. He will bring into being, or to bring to pass, this is my name forever. In other words, my name forever will be, he will bring it to pass. He will bring this into being, whatever it is. Now, what does this all mean? I mean, in other words, it's kind of peculiar. I mean, why would the Lord say such a thing with regard to his name? Because his name becomes huge in the scriptures. You'll see this throughout the scriptures, to call upon the name of the Lord. And that's the name that he wants to be called upon, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And he says, proclaim the name of the Lord. And through the name of the Lord, all the earth will be saved. And so the name of the Lord becomes really critical. But what does this all mean? What is it about? The name of the Lord is connected to what the Lord is about to do for the Israelites. That's the important thing. You see, the way it's probably translated in your Bible, it's also translated in my Bible this way, is I am that I am. That is a way you can translate this, or I will be what I will be. But I believe that translation is a more Greek way of seeing God. In other words, the Greeks will often see things in the abstract, whereas the Israelites will see things much more concretely. The Israelites' conception of God is one who acts on their behalf, one who intervenes into their affairs. That's the way it is. And the idea that the translation could be, he will bring into being, or he will bring it to pass. What is he talking about? He's talking about the deliverance of the Israelites out of Egypt. In other words, what he wants his name to reflect is what he is about to do, so that when you call upon his name in the future, you will remember what he has done. Not just some generic name of I am, okay, great, whatever that means, but rather, when you call upon his name, you remember the deliverance out of Egypt. It's like when we celebrate the Passover Seder. You reenact the Passover, the deliverance, and you remember what God has done. And so I believe what the Lord really wanted was that when you called on his name, you would reflect upon what the Lord had done for you, and there's always this kind of connection with what he has done. Now, there's this continual emphasis in the scriptures, as I already mentioned, about proclaiming the name of the Lord. And turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. Let's just look at one example of it. One example of it. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43 beginning, excuse me, in verse 10. Beginning in the end of verse 10. He says this. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. And then he says in Hebrew, Anohi, Anohi, Adonai. In other words, I am the Lord. That's the Lord's name. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. I am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. I am not some foreign God. Excuse me. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed I am not some foreign God among you. Notice the emphasis on the name of the Lord is connected with what he has done. He's revealed himself. He has saved you. He has delivered you. And there is no one, there is no other Savior apart from him. Now the question is this. Is if the name of the Lord is so important, then why don't we say his name? Because, you know, in Jewish tradition, you're absolutely prohibited from saying the name of the Lord, from saying Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And the question is why? And let's just quickly look at it, and then I'm going to expand upon it from there. The name of the Lord apparently was used up through the First Temple era, which ended around 600 BCE. And it was possibly used somewhat in the Second Temple era, but as that time got further and further away, it became used not at all. And the argument was this, is that during the exile of the Jewish people to Babylon, they lost the pronunciation of the name. Consequently, you can't say the name anymore with assurance that you're actually saying it. And so if you say the name wrongly, because the name is so important, it becomes a violation of the third commandment of the Ten Commandments of blaspheming the name of the Lord. And so now, Jewish people, when they see Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh in prayers, they'll say either Adonai, which means Lord, or they'll say Hashem, which means the name. The question is, how about us as a Messianic Jewish community? Do we need to be bound by that? And should we proclaim the name of the Lord? Because he says consistently throughout the Tanakh to proclaim the name of the Lord. And yet we're not allowed to proclaim the name of the Lord. So what's going on here? And some people actually do. But I would say in mainstream Messianic Judaism, we do not. And I would also completely agree, and I think by the end of the talk, you're going to understand why we should not. And that the Lord is actually doing something different, and I'll explain it. Now, the New Testament, I believe, explains why the name is no longer going to be in use. And I don't believe it's an accident that it's no longer spoken. First of all, Yeshua nor the apostles ever apparently referred to God by his name. It's interesting. Yeshua himself, who would have had the right to do so, always refers to the Lord by my Father. He's always referring to him as a Father. The apostles, the same. God the Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, or the Lord, or God. But there's never any indication that the name of the Lord is actually used. Now, there is one interesting account in the New Testament with respect to the name of the Lord. And turn with me to John chapter 8, and let's look at it. John chapter 8. Now, just follow with me. I know it's getting a little technical, but I think you'll follow what I'm saying in just a second. John 8:52. Now, Yeshua, in John 8, is having a debate with the Pharisees. And then he comes, this is the conclusion of the debate. John 8:52. At this, the Jews exclaim, "Now we know that you're demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Yeshua replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Yeshua answered, before Abraham was born, I am." And at this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Yeshua hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Now notice what Yeshua says here in verse 58. It says, before Abraham was born, I am. In the Greek, which is what the New Testament is written in, it definitely is translated as I am or I exist. That would be the proper translation. But remember, Yeshua is speaking, he's not speaking Greek. He's speaking Hebrew or Aramaic. And so it's been translated from whatever Yeshua is saying into Greek. So we don't know exactly what it was he was actually saying there. But the Hebrew New Testament, which of course is again a translation from the Greek, says this, Ani Hayiti, which would mean I am me or I am who exists. So Yeshua is saying before Abraham, I am he, I am me, or I am who exists before Abraham. Now what does Yeshua mean by all this? Well, he means, number one, that he pre-existed Abraham. It could be a takeoff on the name of the Lord. He could be using the name of the Lord in some way to identify it with himself. Regardless of the meaning of it, it results in violence. His statement results in violence because the scripture says the Pharisees picked up stones to stone him for what he said. It could be because he was stating the Lord's name, which was absolutely prohibited, and he could be stoned for that. Or it could be simply he's equating himself with God, and that would cause him to be stoned as well. We don't know. But that's the only place in the New Testament where there's any reference to that name possibly being used. Now, let's look at it, why I believe the name is no longer used and the name that we should use now, according to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1, let's look at it. Matthew chapter 1, we're just going to look at a few New Testament passages quickly, wrap it up. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. Matthew 1, verse 21, says this. This is the prophecy from the angel about the birth of Yeshua and Mary, Mary's birth. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child. He will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now this passage creates a paradox, okay? And the reason that there's a paradox is it says that the angel says you're to name him Yeshua, but this is to fulfill a prophecy that they're going to call him Emmanuel. So it's like, whoa, okay, wait a minute. The prophecy says you're going to call him Emmanuel, but you're calling him Yeshua. And it's even said that this is a fulfillment of the prophecy. What's going on here? I mean, what's happening is that we know from the gospel accounts that Yeshua is supernaturally born. God creates his own life in Mary. It's kind of like what Ed said earlier in the drash. And they are to name this boy that's born, they are to name him Yeshua. Why name him Yeshua? Because he will save his people from his sins. Yeshua means salvation. The name of Yeshua is connected to what he will do. Similar to the name that God identified himself to Moses, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, that name is connected to what God will do. You see, the name is always connected to what the person will do. In fact, you see this consistently in the scriptures. Why was Abraham named Abraham? Because it meant the father of many nations. It was a prophecy about who he's going to become. Why was Jacob named Yaakov? Because it meant supplanter. And it showed the character of who Jacob was. Why was Jacob's name changed to Israel? To mean prince with God, Yisrael? Because he had changed, his character had changed in wrestling with God, and now he was a prince of the Lord, and so forth. The names in the scriptures always identify with who they are and what the person is going to do and be. And so Yeshua is named this. Yes, he is God in man. Yes, God supernaturally brings him. But most importantly, his name is for what he's going to do. Just like the name of God, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, is what he was going to do. You see? Now, this is where it gets interesting about the name of Yeshua, and this is where the connection is with the name of the Lord. Turn with me to John 14. John 14. Like I said, just hold on. I know it seems might seem a little confusing, but just hang in there. John 14. Now, and we're going to begin in verse 5. John 14 is Yeshua at the Passover Seder, just before his death. And this is what Yeshua says in John 14, verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Yeshua answered, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. What is Philip saying? Lord, show us Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. That's what he's saying. See? He's saying, show us the Father. Now look what Yeshua is saying. Yeshua answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? You see, this is some statement that he's saying. Basically, he's saying, look, first of all, to even come to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, you've got to go through me. That's the first thing that he says in John 14, 6. Then he says, if you want to know Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, and you want to see him, he who has seen me has seen Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. It's the same statements. Jump with me to verse 12. Let's see what Yeshua says next. Verse 12 of chapter 14, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. In other words, asking in the name of Yeshua is what brings it about. So the name of Yeshua now is becoming important, okay, for the Lord to accomplish something. Let's continue. John 15, verse 16. Let's look at it again. John 15, 16. Yeshua says this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Remember the emphasis in the Tanakh and the Torah about the name of the Lord? In the New Testament, the name is being shifted. The name of Yeshua is now being exalted for a reason, which we'll get to. Chapter 16, verse 23. Chapter 16, verse 23. Yeshua again says this, "In that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be made complete." See, this is an interesting statement. Until now, no one has asked anything in the name of Yeshua. Okay? Why? Because there's been no power in that name. There's no power in the name of Yeshua until the death and the resurrection. Once that occurs, what has happened? People's sins are removed. It gives efficacy to that name. And now that name opens all of heaven for the power of God and the revelation of God through the name of Yeshua. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Last couple of scriptures. Acts chapter 2. This is Peter speaking on Shavuot after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And now he's preaching about what is happening. He's explaining the outpouring of the Spirit to the crowds of Jewish people who are there. And he says this. He quotes the prophet Joel. And he says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, will be saved." Joel spoke that prophecy 700 years before. And then you come to verse 38 of chapter 2. And this is how Peter concludes his message. He says this. Peter replied, "Repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Why not in the name of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh? Because that's what had been proclaimed for sent for millennia. Why Yeshua? Because Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is associated with the act of the deliverance out of Egypt. That's not the issue here. The name of Yeshua is connected with the act of salvation, of deliverance from sins. And so if you want to get right with God, you proclaim upon the name of Yeshua rather than Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, because he's reflecting the character of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, but through salvation as opposed through deliverance from Egypt. Do you see see what I'm saying here? The connection? This is where I'm going to start to wrap it up. Acts chapter 4 says this. The disciples are arrested for preaching the gospel. And they refuse to stop preaching the gospel by the Jewish leadership. And then you come to verse 12, Acts 4, verse 12. It says this, "Salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." What name are we talking about? We're talking about Yeshua. It's under the name of Yeshua that salvation is preached. That's the validity of that. And finally, we come to Philippians chapter 1. This is the last scripture, and this is where I end. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Philippians 1, verse 9 says this. Philippians 2, verse 9. I'm sorry. Philippians 2, verse 9. This is Paul speaking. It says, "God exalted him," this is Yeshua, "to the highest place and gave him," notice, "the name that is above every name. That at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. And that every tongue confess that Yeshua the Messiah is Lord to the glory of God the Father." It's the name above every name. It's Yeshua. Now, it's no accident that the name of God, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, was no longer spoken even then. It was no longer a mentionable name at that time. Because what was happening is the Lord, I believe, created it that way so that the name of Yeshua would become the new name of the manifestation, the evidence of God. He would be given the name that would be above every name, so that that name would be connected to what the Lord was about to do, which was salvation through that name. That Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh would be fully revealed in Yeshua, both the fullness of his character, the fullness of his power, the fullness of his actions, all would become explained, revealed, understood through the life and the name of Yeshua. And this is how God is to be known, through that name. Yes, we still refer to him as God the Father, but it's through the name of Yeshua, because that's what gives us the right to be able to even come into his presence. And that is the reason why it's no longer is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh in vogue anymore. It can no longer even be spoken. It's because the name of Yeshua has now, I don't want to say co-opted it, but it's gone to a new level, a new revelation of who God is, to save his people from his sins as well as to deliver the people from Egypt. I want to conclude with this note. If you want to know the fullness of God, if you want to experience the fullness of his power, if you want your sins to be removed, even as it is explained here, this is the time to know him, to know Yeshua. You cannot have your sins removed without experiencing the name of Yeshua. It's not possible. He is the full revelation of God, the full revelation of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And I'm going to challenge you right now, if there's somebody in here that doesn't know him, that's never said yes to Yeshua, this is the time. Even if you've turned away and back, you know, gone and stepped away from him and started to fall back away from him, this is the time. The Lord wants to reveal himself to you fully through the name of Yeshua. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for names, Lord God. Father, we know, Lord God, that there was a reason that you gave that name to Moshe, Lord God, in the beginning. And we also know that, Lord, there was a reason that you gave the name of Yeshua through the angel to Mary and Joseph, Lord God. And that, Father, you have a reason for everything that you do. And we know that there is a reason that your name is no longer spoken on this earth, but rather is revealed through the name of Yeshua. Lord, we accept those reasons, Lord God. And Father, we boldly proclaim, Father, that Yeshua is the name above every name, and that he is represented, Lord God, through forgiveness of sin and salvation and so on. And Lord, we want to be in that place where we acknowledge that name, where we proclaim that name, that we state that name outward, Lord God, for all people, both Jew and Gentile, Lord, so that, through that name we might all come to know you. And I want to pray for anybody in this room, Lord, today who has never surrendered themselves, submitted to the name of Yeshua. And Father, I just pray that you would just say in your heart right now, Lord, I need to know that name. I need to know that aspect, that part of the character of God, so that I might have my sins forgiven. And I might experience the fullness of the Lord, and I might be able to see the Father, oh Lord. Father, we receive you. We receive Yeshua right now in the name of Yeshua. And Lord, I just thank you for the forgiveness of sins. I thank you that he lived and died and rose for me so I might know the power of the living God. And in his name we pray. Amen and amen.